Right. ABW Radio, home or away, win or lose, we are your place to share your Arsenal views. No, I'm not your pirate, typical host, Chris Carpenter. He is away right now actually, he's at the Emirates, or just leaving there right now. So, as a bunch of the boys from the pod and Mr. Hall and Fern all got together today for the match, oh my goodness. Need to turn my own YouTube feed off there. But I am joined and luckily here today with a great friend and great gooner here, and Ellis Mel, our spy in Norwich. How are you, Ellis?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you very much. Got three gremlins in the system when I finally made it here. It took a while.
Ah, yes.
We got there.
Yeah, it's a bad day for gremlins all over the place. So let's just get started with it, right? Let's get down to some brass tacks here. 3-2 win. I wouldn't say it was our best performance of the year today, but I will say that what we really did over the course of the day was overcome a lot of bad luck, probably some poor refereeing. Just your general thoughts on the match, and then we'll get into sort of some of the details.
Well, first of all, I'll start with the lineup. I wasn't really surprised at the lineup. I thought we'd start the same guys that we stuck with for the last few games. It seemed to work quite well. So I was happy with the lineup when I saw it. I wasn't looking forward to the game too much because Swansea have been sort of our bogey team of late. We've had quite a few poor matches, especially at the Emirates against them. So I didn't know if it was going to go too well. It was just after an international break, and you know how the team can sort of be after a break like that. So I wasn't looking forward to it greatly. I thought we might draw or lose, but to be honest, I thought we started the first half quite well. I thought we pressed well. I thought Theo had quite a good first half. Alexis and Ozil, except from obviously that sort of link up for Ozil's goal, I thought were quite quiet today. I thought, like you said, refereeing decisions. I think Swansea were playing a bit of the sort of rotational fouls, getting in the niggly ones. I thought Amet could have seen a yellow card a few times. And then for obviously Xhaka to get that straight red for that foul, I thought was a bit harsh, to be honest. I thought that's probably a yellow. So all in all, the 3 points is what we needed. That's what we got. And results from around the rest of the league, Tottenham just getting a draw, could have lost. And obviously City getting a draw worked in our favour quite well. So to get the 3 points, especially when our rivals have dropped points, is the most important thing, I think.
Yeah, moved up into second now on the table, which is really good for us. Obviously, we all know how well we do in October. So hopefully, as October starts to wind down, we can sort of carry some of this run of form into November. Let's talk about get into some of the first half performances specifically. We saw a lot of the ball early on. They sort of, I wouldn't say that they really sat back, because they really sort of played a high line against us, it seemed like, a lot of the day. And we sort of played into that because I think we were offsides. You know, more times than Theo's pulled up from a 50-50 challenge. That's a bit harsh. He's been on good form. I shouldn't pick on the guy. But, yeah, I think it was very good, you know, and you mentioned that they were our bogey team, so I was nervous as well going into this. But it was really, really not too bad. We had that early chance sort of early on from a corner. Ozil played a good cross, and Mustafi just clipped the bar and went over. But we looked to be aiming at Mustafi, and it seems like we finally have somebody other than Per Mertesacker who's really good in the air off these set pieces and can really fight for the ball. I think that really adds a lot, and being able to have that is such a good thing. I think we've been missing it for a while.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Mustafi, actually, the way he's sort of come into the squad, just from seeing him like the Arsenal sort of social media-wise. You see lots of photos of him sort of recently. He was taking the mickey out of Ozil's celebration. He seems to be integrating really well with the team, like from his Instagram and sort of Twitter profiles. He's always sort of hanging out with the lads. And you can see he seems quite vocal on the pitch as well. And like you say, since we haven't had Per Mertesacker from the injury, he's sort of taken on that role and that mantle there. And I think he's quite a good leader. He's obviously not the captain, that's Koscielny's role. That's what he's been given. But I think he's, when you look back at sort of Arsenal teams of old, you probably say there's captains all over the pitch. And I think Mustafi could probably be one of those sort of players. So yeah, I've been really impressed with him, how he's sort of integrated the team and the sort of partnership he's built up across.
Yeah, look, I know you mentioned Theo Walcott a little earlier as well. Had a really, really good match, really good first half. He just seems to be popping up sort of in the right places at the right times on a lot of these. And I think the goal that he had the first one was just really well taken, sort of really sort of well taken chance. Walk us through that and sort of your thoughts leading up to it and then the actual goal itself.
Well, I actually missed the first one because my stream went down, but I've seen some of the highlights. But I think it's sort of quite a typical sort of Walcott finish. When he doesn't have the sort of time to think and dilly-dally, he'll just put it in and bury it. So I thought he did really well for that finish particularly. I thought we're sort of half gifted both of his goals, really, from the sort of Swansea players. Bellerin, obviously, for his second goal, did quite well to put the ball in, but for that first one, it was a bit of a gift. But like you said, this season for Walcott, I think a lot of people probably thought he was gone before pre-season, thought he might be sold if we could get rid of him. A lot of people wanted him to leave. I, in the past, have been really critical of Walcott, just like you mentioned, of him ducking out of 50-50 challenges and the way he sort of, I wouldn't say not effort, but it just sometimes seems that he doesn't put the effort in, or like you say, he's just, you feel like he could give a bit more. But I was listening to the Arsenal commentary as well, because my stream kept going in and out, so I sort of flicked between the stream and the commentary. And one of the guys made a really good point about Theo Walcott, how he sort of, he's only really got one element to his game that he's really good at. He's sort of, his one weapon in his arsenal. But then he made the point about a samurai has one sword, but if you use it correctly, then you can be really dangerous. And the same thing for Walcott, with his pace and his speed, and gets into those positions, he uses it correctly, he'll do really well, which is why I think he's sort of succeeding in this sort of fluid front three of him, Alexis and Iwobi. They can move around a lot. Theo can get in behind, but he still today even showed glimpses of the old Walcott, obviously, with the could have had a hat trick, hit the post, hit the bye. He's still got that in his game, but when he does play to his strengths, he can be really deadly and be a good player for us. And he has stepped up. Well, fair play to him from last season. I think he was criticised a lot, and since the start of this season, I find it hard to criticise him. If he keeps playing like this, then fair play to him. He's doing really well.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I actually, West Ham were on a tour of the U.S. and came to my area, and I went to the match, and I was fully expecting to see Theo in one of his first matches for West Ham against my local team, the Railhawks here. So, like you say, fair play to him. I think it was a really some really good build-up play on that first goal that really started deep, and Iwobi had dropped back, played a really good ball into Theo at first, who sort of laid it off to Sanchez. Sanchez finds Bellerin. Bellerin just plays a nice, simple header back across, and they just can't deal with it. And I think it's those dangerous spots that we're putting ourselves in. And, we say that we're a bit lucky. I think it's we think that we're lucky because we're probably not used to seeing those types of goals fall our way. But I do think there's an element of maybe we're knowing where to be at the right time now a little more so than we have been in the past. Because I think we've had a few goals like that where – in the past, we probably wouldn't have scored them, and I think this year we're putting ourselves in more dangerous positions to be able to knock this home. So really, really happy to see that. Obviously, Theo got the second goal as well. Slots past Fabianski. The real thing with that corner, though, on the second goal, Theo was in the 6-yard box and took two touches, and still could have taken a third before he got the ball away. So some atrocious defending there from Swansea off the set piece, but again, just a really good, calm, composed Theo there. And usually, when he has time to think like that, you're going, "Oh man, he's gonna mess it up. It's gonna go right. It's gonna go right to Fabianski, or he's gonna sky it. Pull a Gervinho or something like that." But it was really good to see that composure from him. And we mentioned it a little earlier, but just talk about. I think it was the Telegraph, somebody ran a piece about sort of just his mentality this year. I think that's got to play a big part into his form.
Yeah, definitely. I think going back to your point about saying how we're getting a bit more luck, I think, I can't remember who said it, I've heard someone say it, or people say it plenty of times, sort of like you make your own luck. And I think the way we're sort of pressing, the way that sort of free sort of press, and also including Ozil, he's quite intelligent with pressing as well. When you press teams like that, they are going to make mistakes. And if you're in that area to punish their mistakes, and that's what you can see. So I think a lot of the goals that we're sort of scoring and creating since the start of the season have been from this sort of pressing game that we seem to have adopted since. I don't know if it's the fact that Giroud isn't playing anymore, and with that front for him, we're more better able to do it. I don't know if you see if Giroud, when he's fit, might come back in, if it'll change this sort of tactic we're going or not. I'm not sure, but it's working well at the moment, which is the positive thing, really. As long as it's working, there's no need to change it.
Yeah, let's I'd sort of put on my notes 2-0 lead. It's really dangerous. And then the man whose name is on my back right now gets the ball in a really dangerous spot, tries to play a little fancy sort of rollover touch to set up his next touch, but gives it away. Xhaka, not his greatest game in an Arsenal. We'll come on to the red card a little later, but some really sloppy play from him there that led to what was actually a really good finish by Sigurdsson, unfortunately, that old Spursy twat.
Yeah, it's a shame, really, because Xhaka, since he's came in, since the injury to Coquelin, he's played quite well. He's obviously got those two screamers, which will probably give him a bit more leeway when he does have performances like this. But, yeah, I just think people are going to make mistakes, and he made a mistake today with whatever he was trying there. I'm not quite sure. But I also thought Cech could have done better. I don't know if it was surprise at how Xhaka returned the ball over there, but he just sort of seemed to not dive, just put a sort of hand up there, sort of lackadaisically, and it was just, I don't know. But yeah, it was a good finish from Sigurdsson, really. And sort of 2-0 up, and you're looking around the rest of the Premier League and the results coming in, I'm starting to think, well, I thought we were going to struggle here, but we seemed quite good in this half. We scored 2-0, and I'm feeling quite elated and happy. And then obviously that goal goes in, I'm like, oh no, what's going on here? And we sort of got a bit shaky at the back as well, and I thought, here we go, Arsenal are going to do it again to me, they're going to do it to us. But yeah, we got there, didn't we? That's, I suppose that's all that matters. But I think I do feel a bit sorry for Xhaka. It wasn't his best game, but I think a lot of that is down to sort of coming back from the international break. You go from playing with your international team that play a completely different style and playing with different players, then coming back in and playing another team. But I think Swansea, out of all of us, out of the both of the teams, looked more tired than us. I don't think our players looked tired. I just think there was a lack of something there. Like I mentioned earlier, Ozil and Alexis didn't seem to really get into the game at all. Obviously, they linked up for the third goal. But I keep saying at the end of the day, I'm just happy we got it. I'm just relieved, I think is the main word, relief. Definitely.
This was one of the first games when we hit, I think it was like the 87th minute, I felt the actual knot in my stomach just start to grow and grow. And I was like, please don't do this to me today. Which luckily we didn't. And talk about lead into the third goal. Mesut Ozil. I haven't been able to watch him play a whole lot for Germany recently, so I'm not sure what his form is with the national team. He's only got one assist in his last 16 games coming into today. He had 11 assists in the 16 matches before that. He's been slated a little bit today. I know somebody on Twitter, and I forgot who it was saying, like, oh, well, Iwobi's sort of giving the ball away today, one of those games for a young player. Iwobi ended up with, like, over a 90% pass completion today, whereas our superstar, Mesut Ozil, 73% pass completion today. Is this something we need to be worried about in his form, specifically in passing? Obviously, the goal was great. We'll come to that in just a second. But should we as fans be worried? Because it's been sort of a consistent theme this season that he'll pop up at the right times, but over a 90-minute span, he's really not been the consistent force we all thought he was, and he has been forced in the past.
I don't think, to be honest, it's for the team as a whole, I don't think it's that bad that Mesut Ozil's not really performing well, because we are still getting results. And I think if you go back to last season, there was a period sort of probably about this time last year where he was just getting assists after assists after assists, and he was running the play, assisting players, and we were doing really well. And then as he started to dry up, the goals started to dry up. And I think teams started to sort of mark him out of the game. And if you cut off the supply from Mesut Ozil without Santi Cazorla there injured, that's one of our most creative players there gone. And you can sort of stop Arsenal there. So it's probably him himself is probably not feeling too good. Although he's got a few goals, which he'd probably be happy with. I think it's good that we're still, like I said, getting points without him. And I think it's just a matter of time before he'll probably get back into the sort of form we've grown accustomed with. I think people say, isn't it the old saying, isn't it? A form is temporary, class is permanent. So I hope he can get back to it. And I think he probably will. I think it's just, I don't know, it's just taken a while to sort of get back into the swing of things, really. but I'm not worried, not really.
Yeah, I think it's positive to see that he can still, and he's not, to don't get me wrong, he's not droppable by any means, in my opinion. The what he can provide in a single moment for a match like we saw today is why you keep him in there. Let's go ahead and start to talk about that goal, because Sanchez really did a great job of keeping the ball in a good position there and putting in a great cross, and then obviously a thunderous volley into the top part of the net there for the third goal. Just, I mean, I literally just yelled. I was like, Jesus Christ, that was great. It was just my initial reaction there. Just your thoughts on it, just one of those sort of splendid moments throughout a game that we're probably going to remember for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think I probably had a similar reaction. Like I said, I was getting a bit nervous after it went to 2-1. I thought, oh, here we go again. It's going to be another sort of typical Swansea game. And it, in fairness, it still was. But after we got that third goal, I thought, oh, no, we've done it. And just the way he sort of put that into the top corner of his left foot volley. Like, we saw him score a volley against Chelsea, but that was sort of hitting to the ground, yeah, off the post, sort of a scruffy one.
All on purpose.
Must have been. But this was just a lovely goal. They've linked up before like that. I think it might have been against Watford earlier this season, sort of Alexis putting in a good ball, and then I think Ozil headed it in. So, like I said, they were both pretty quiet today, and you've just reeled off some stats about Ozil's percentage of passing there. But they are both capable of just having those little moments, and when they do have those moments, they can punish anyone, really, which is why, like you say, you can't really drop Ozil, because even when he's out of form, he's still got the ability to do that in a game. And who knows what would have happened if he hadn't scored that goal, really. Obviously, we've had Theo had plenty of chances that he missed, but you never know. If he doesn't score that there and Swansea get a second, then who knows? So that was an important goal, and we needed that, especially after Swansea got the second one. But yeah, just the feeling of elation, really, when he got that in, and then even more relief.
Yeah, it's one of those, again, just one of those goals that you, you remember the, you know, the Podolski against West Ham, Podolski against Bayern, just one of those just cracking thumpers that just hits the top of the net. You think it's going to keep on going. Mm-hmm. Just to put a pause on things, and Danny just brought this to my attention. I don't know why I didn't see it on the show title. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the 100th ABW radio show live that we're doing right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so just thanks to everybody who keeps on watching. Thanks to all the first-timers in the chat box today. Thanks to all the always-knowns that we always know we're going to be there. Here later, so if you guys want to start putting those in the chat box, please, please do. But let's go ahead. Let's move on. Let's talk about what caused my ulcer to flare up. I don't have ulcers, but it's a good joke. They really just put us on the front foot. And let's, you know, as much as we've been praising some of the other players in Theo today, let's be honest about, you know, Nacho's performance today, because whenever Barrow had the ball on the left side against him, it just one of those days that Nacho's going to want to forget, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I'll hark back to our sort of performances in the past against Swansea. There always seems to be some player that has a bit of a mare. Like, I don't know if it was last season or the previous season before that, but I can really remember Chambers sort of getting torn apart by, I think it was Jefferson Montero at the time, and he just had a mare that game. But it's not just this game for Nacho. It's been a few times this season where I've just thought he could do a bit better, or he's not looked the sort of consistent player that he was last season. Last season, if you could rate a player out of 10, he'd probably be a 7 out of 10 most matches. He was so consistent and probably one of the first sort of names you put on the team sheet. But he has looked a bit shaky. What was that?
I think it's something, yeah. Oh. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Gremlins are back. But yeah, I know. He has sort of looked a bit shaky of late, and I don't know if that's something to worry about. I said I wasn't really worried about Ozil, but I am a little bit worried about Nacho, because he's getting onto sort of the wrong side of 30. In Kieran Gibbs, we have someone who can step in, but with his previous injuries, he's not massively reliable. But I wouldn't be too surprised if later on this season, that we see Gibbs sort of playing at left back, not because Monreal's got an injury, just maybe changing it up because he might have looked particularly out of form. I don't know, to be honest. I am a bit worried about it. But I don't think the fact that Nacho has, most of the time, obviously they're quite fluid, has Iwobi in front of him, who, for all of his sort of positive points, he's not too good at tracking back, and his defensive work I don't think is great, but he's quite a young player, and that's something that you sort of have to learn and has to grow. So maybe with someone like, maybe when Giroud's fit, I don't know if we'll ever change it, but if Alexis goes back onto the left wing, you might see an improvement in Nacho's game. I'm not sure. I just think he's a bit out of form, and I don't think the players in front of him are helping him either. But hopefully he can get over this sort of slump.
Yeah, there were many times when he would either have to go inside to sort of cover for something there, and then be exposed because Iwobi would, you know. And that's, I think it's one of the things that when you do have the rotation up front, like we can have with Sanchez and Theo interchanging, and Iwobi and Sanchez, or Iwobi and Theo interchanging in those roles. I think it can be a little shaky defensively for whoever's behind him. So harp too much on it. Barrow puts a low cross into the box. Borjas slots home. Not our best defensive moment of the year, as sort of Borja was just camped out in between both Koscielny and Mustafi. And actually, just thinking back on it now, it's probably our worst defensive moment of the year, just because it was such an easy goal that we conceded to him. Just not a whole lot of marking in the box. Guy sitting wide open. I will have to admit that if you go back and you watch the replay, Barrow's ball could have point accurate, because Santi and Monreal had finally closed him down, and he had about a foot to put it in, and he put it perfectly in that foot in between them. Mm-hmm. So it was a good ball in, but at the same time, I think that's a ball that we're used to seeing Koscielny cut out, and we're used to seeing Mustafi on the man to at least try to rattle him to put it wide or put it over the bar. So, but it, we seem today to either be outstanding defensively or just sort of piss poor. not our greatest showing by any means by all back four.
No, it was sort of on a sort of knife edge, really, especially towards the last stages of the game, the way we were sort of defending. Like I said, my stream kept cutting in and out, and I kept switching between the commentary on the Arsenal player and obviously any stream that I could find. And it was just literally horrible to watch, because your stream starts to load up and you see sort of one Swansea player bombing down the wing and getting close, and a ball gets put in and it gets cut out. And I'm like, has that gone in? What's going on? Try and load up, get up the commentary. And they're like, oh, and it's a good interception by Koscielny, or it's hit the bar, or like they could have had a lot of chances to score. And it was, like you say, it was all or nothing defending, really. It was either a bit piss poor or sort of really good and well done. But yeah, I think it was hard viewing. I'm not gonna lie, it was very hard viewing, but I'm gonna keep harking back to it. I wasn't confident at all this game, and we got there and we got the points. I think that's all that matters. I think this season we're starting to see sort of Swansea a bogey team, Chelsea a team we've been very poor against, and we're getting results. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but we're moving in the right direction, and that's all we can ask for as fans, really.
Yeah, it's good. And I think, you know, we've sort of both mentioned these are games where we've not had the luck that we've had in the past, or we do have the luck that we've had in the past starting to sort of go our way. People will say sort of, oh, you know, well, you know, if you look at the way City's run is, except for today, you know, that they're really going to could run away with it. We had a really poor start to the season. We're already up into second place now. And finally, things are all right in the world because we're above Tottenham. Because I have a new coworker who's from Enfield, and so I get to rub it in her face a little bit because she's a massive Spurs fan.
Lovely.
So yeah, it's great. I just sort of feel like these are games in the past, specifically like you mentioned against Swansea. I just remember so many poor performances, whether it be, you know, in Swansea or at the Emirates, where we just something was wrong. And I don't think, like I said, today was the greatest performance, but stuff was not 100% right, and we were still able to overcome. Let's talk about let's come on to it, because I think me and you are going to disagree on this. Xhaka's red card. Barrow is off, you know, down his right-hand side, barreling towards Montreal, who everybody had to have known that he was just getting skinned left and right all day. I understand why it was red. 100% agree with it, but I understand why. The ball was 3 to 4 yards in front of Barrow, like 5 yards in front of Shaka. He's not going to get to the ball. It's a high challenge up close towards the knee. It's from behind. He'd already clipped him. I don't know. And if you, that, tough to see in live action, but if you notice on the slow motion replay, he clips him on his right ankle and then dives in and kicks him on his left knee. So it was sort of a double foul. I understand why the red was given. It could be harsh. Understand why. And it's just, to me, I think it's more the stupidity. And Shaka knows better, and I think there's a better way to foul there, maybe pull the jersey back as opposed to lunge in, that you get the yellow card for and you stay on the pitch and you're not down 10 men, as opposed to lunging in from so far behind when there's you have absolutely zero chance of winning the ball.
Yeah, like, I think when we were linked with Xhaka and people came on, like, obviously on this podcast and on Twitter as well, the people who had the sort of concerns people did have with Xhaka before we signed him was the amount of red cards that he got, and especially in a league like Bundesliga, it's not renowned for giving a lot of red cards. And I can't remember what the stat was now, but I think he's had 8 red cards in, I don't know how many months, since the start of the year, possibly. 6 of those were Mönchengladbach, 1 was for Switzerland recently, and obviously this one now for Arsenal. That is something in his game, that's something I think he has to do better at, but yeah, I am going to disagree with you. I don't think that was a red card. I can see from your point of view how you could conceive that as a red card. Perhaps I need to go back and look at it a bit more, because all I saw was sort of like a trip tackle. And I think from me, from when you play sort of like, I'm not going to compare like Arsenal to Sunday League, but any sort of type of football from Sunday League up to this sort of level, that's just taking one for the team, really. I think that's a yellow. If in front of Xhaka or in front of that player, there's nothing else, and Jack is the last one. Yeah, of course it's a red card, but there was still a good 3 players. I know Monreal's getting skinned by him all day long, but you don't know that, and you don't know if he's going to then get past the other 2 players or put in a good ball. He's still got a lot to do after that. I thought that red card was really harsh, especially when you consider some of the things or some of the fouls that the Swansea players are making. They weren't getting a yellow card. But I probably me just being biased, I think you're probably right. He could have gone a better way about having a professional foul, like pulling him back on the shirt. And it does perhaps look a bit cynical, but in my opinion, my biased opinion, I don't think it's a red card. I think it was very harsh.
Yeah, I wouldn't have, I thought at first I was like, oh, he's going to go for the yellow. And then I saw the hand drop and I was like, oh, this is, I think my biggest thing was, the fact whether we all agree that it's a straight red or not, or a yellow, the fact is he put himself in you shouldn't put yourself in a position where you make the referee think, because let's not all act like I believe it was Jonathan Moss was the ref. Let's not all act like he had had a great game up until that point either. I mean, they had gotten multiple away with multiple fouls on Walcott, Amrad, who would put his hand up cynically in his face when he was almost in on goal. There was another elbow to the back, the top of the spine, early on an aerial ball that wasn't called as well. And for once, and I haven't been supporting the Arsenal for too long. Most of you will probably have a few years on me at least. But I can't remember a time when the commentators in a match were so pro Arsenal not getting fouls, and they were going like, what? Like, I don't understand what Jonathan Moss is doing. Like, that should have been a foul. I don't understand how he's really calling this match. So I think it was just one of those things where we should have put ourselves in a better position. The actual card itself is probably debatable in itself between everybody when you really go back and look at it. But I think the biggest thing is I understand why he went there. And I do think we would probably feel hard pressed if it had happened the other way. That's sort of why I do want to be somewhat unbiased, but at the same time, I was pretty pissed off the fact that he went straight for red, because it's not like Shaka had been fouling as much as they had been fouling early on in the match either. And to Shaka's credit as well, he didn't have a single. I think he had one card after the after November last year, so we'll give him some credit. But let's go into after that, or actually just right before that, we saw Francis Coughlin come on, and he seemed to sort of be, especially when we were at 10 men, just a calming presence defensively for us. And as much as he could have with 10 men, I think settled things down. And it was really, really good to see somebody, one, come back from an injury so quickly after we thought it was going to be, you know, it could have been much worse. So credit to the medical team. As much as everybody wants to slate them off when players like Ramsey don't come back in time, to be able to get Coughlin back on after, you know, just a few matches out, it's really a good testament to them. And just talk about sort of his presence today whenever I do think he had a really, really good game once he came on, and sort of helped us break things up when we absolutely needed it.
Yeah, definitely. I think – you could say a lot of people, I definitely was worried when he was gone. I think a lot of people were more sort of worried about Xhaka getting the team. And when, sounds harsh, when Coughlin did get injured, I think people were happy that Xhaka was finally going to have his chance against the team. But they're two very different players. And what Coughlin lacks is passing range, and that's what Xhaka has on Coughlin. But Xhaka's not the most fast player. He's not necessarily as athletic as Coughlin. And I think when Coughlin came on, like you said, he really took the initiative. And there was times when I think Arsenal were worried and the players started to sit back and no one was sort of going in to try and nick that ball. And there's a couple of occasions where Coughlin just nicked it, broke up the play, and like you said, just calmed things down and got it out. He's not going to win that ball and then spray a long 40-yard pass out to the wing. He's just going to look for Santi or whoever's next to him, and he'll pass it off. He'll make the simple, easy decisions, and that is what we needed sort of after that sending off, and especially sort of towards the end of the game. We needed someone like that who was going to come in, break up the play, and just get it out and get another attack sort of rolling. I think Coughlin is really good at that. People have been, I think, quite critical of him at the start of the season. But as long as you sort of look at Coughlin and take him in for the sort of player he is and don't expect him to do things that he can't do, then I don't see what the issue is. He's there to do a job, and I think he does that job very well.
I'll admit, I was one of those people. I'm a massive Granit Xhaka fan. He's on the back of the kit that I'm wearing right now. So, which, by the way, you're getting a lot of compliments today on the third kit in the chat box right now.
Am I? I haven't got it.
You are. Well, that's okay. But you're doing your best runway model impression for the third kit right now. You're turning some people's heads right now. But I really, really do enjoy Xhaka. And I'm interested. I'm not sure if somebody, and please credit yourself in the chat box. But somebody in there earlier was saying that, you know, they really like to see Xhaka and Coughlin together, because we would have a lot of steel, but I still think we'd have that range of passing, and we may not be as mobile, but we're not really that mobile with Xhaka and Cazorla either. So, and you're definitely right to say that they're different players. I think Xhaka is actually probably – Xhaka is the box to box that people really probably want Ramsey to be, with his range of passing and the way he can get into a tackle. I think probably Ramsey's a little better going forward with the ball at his feet, but Shaka's got a good range of passing. We know he can put the tackles in, all granted, not from behind. I really sort of like him. And I was one hand over my heart. I was calling for him early on, really wanted to see him, but I do think it would be good to see, especially in some of these larger matches against bigger teams where we're probably not going to see as much of the ball, to have a Coughlin Xhaka partnership that can easily break up play, and then we can find people quickly on the counter. Because I don't know if, and I was at the MLS All-Star match against Arsenal, and the sound the ball produces when Xhaka puts his foot through it is unlike anything I've ever heard in my life. I've been I've been to quite a few professional matches and seen some really good players. And it was, it's just different. He's got such a great range. He can put it on a dime, left wing, right wing, doesn't really matter. He's great with both feet on that long ball. So I think that really provides us something when we play these bigger teams like a Manchester City. When, let's be honest, we're not going to see a whole lot of the ball with the way that they play. So I think somebody like a Coquelin and a Xhaka can definitely – I just the other thing when the lineups came out, you saw Elneny and Xhaka – or you saw Elneny and Coquelin on the bench, Oxlade-Chamberlain, was just the fact that when was the last time we really had that much depth in a defensive sort of sense in the midfield, and the fact that sort of, you know, Xhaka – Coquelin, Elneny can all sort of pair with almost anybody that we have in the midfield to go forward and be able to provide that. I mean, it was just a couple of years ago that, you know, we had to rely on, and I love the guy to death, but, you know, Matt Flam coming in and hoping he didn't put in a rash tackle. So I think it was really, really good to be able to have that. Guys, actually, if you want, start putting your questions in the chat box because I'm almost out of things to talk about. So please. keep this thing going. Let's go ahead and talk about we finished the game off. Gibbs did come on. Oxlade-Chamberlain came on. Let's just sort of Gibbs. I'm sorry, not Gibbs, but Oxlade-Chamberlain looked really up for this game. Knew the task at hand. Down to 10 men. Really needing to alleviate some of the pressure on our defense. I think he actually put in probably one of his better performances for us in the last little bit, and really sort of led the line on some breakaways there for us.
Yeah, definitely. And it could be a bit aggrieved not to get like two assists or at least one assist towards the end of the game, because he did break out of the play. And like when you're sort of backs against the wall, a man down, and you've got the likes of Fear Walcott and Oxlade-Chamberlain with their pace and speed to sort of get out and cause a counter attack, you can get out there and you can get a goal. And I think he'd be a bit pissed off of Fear Walcott for not putting that away, but yeah, he did it last season, didn't he? He had quite a good pre-season. We expected a lot of him. He didn't really have a very good season. Injuries sort of halted him getting any sort of run of form together. This season, it's not really more the same. He hasn't really had any injuries, but he just can't really seem to cement a place in the squad. And I think that's warranted when you look at the way we're playing with Iwobi, Walcott, and Alexis. He doesn't deserve a place in the starting 11. But all he can do is wait for his chance to come like they did today and put in a good performance. And if he keeps doing that, then I'm not too worried. I think his development has halted slightly, and that is a slight cause for concern. People are talking about perhaps loaning him out, but I think with the fact that Gnabry's gone off, Joel Campbell's out on loan again, we're definitely going to need him this season. We can't send him out on loan. I just hope when we do call on him, he'll be ready and he'll put in a good performance. That's all we can sort of hope for, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think today his pace, his dynamism, his decision-making as well, he went to the flag a couple of times, which I think was extremely intelligent and showed a lot of maturity on his part. Theo Walcott, I know you're watching. Take that man out to dinner because you owe him two because you hit the crossbar at the post. And that man deserves an assist. So go take him to dinner. It's someplace nice, please. Not like at McDonald's or like Nando's or anything. Yeah, I think it was really, really well. Really just you talked about the relief earlier. I was super relieved whenever that final whistle blew. It's one of those things. We needed to get over this. Obviously, here in the United States, all the talk leading up to the match was that it's the first American manager in the Premier League. We're so excited. Bob Bradley had his dick sucked so much today by American media that it's probably chafed. And not that I dislike Bob Bradley at all, but let's come on. The most he's going to do with Swansea is keep them up and keep them mid-table. He's not going to push them on beyond any more than what they've already been. He's a good manager, but I do feel that that's his limit. He's not a world-class. He's not going to move them into European spots. They're probably also not going to be relegated because he is a decent manager. He knows how to set up very well tactically. The talent that he had for the U.S. men's national team for a few years was dire, and he did a really good job by getting us out of a group stage in the 2010 World Cup. So credit where that's due for him, but really good for Arsenal to get our sort of bogey team out of the way. Let's talk about some fixtures coming up, because we don't have the hardest lineup coming up, but we also don't have the easiest. And you know, we got Spurs here in a few games. Middlesbrough is a team that has talent on it. How do you see our November, the rest of October, November starting to shape up here, Ellis?
So we've got Ludogorets, haven't we, our next game.
Yeah.
I think you can never really take any team too light, especially in the Champions League, because they're all there on merit. And we've had in the past Anderlecht, Monaco, where Arsenal have taken the opposition a bit too light and they've got their pants pulled down. So I don't think we can take the Ludogorets game lightly at all. I think we're going to have to sort of, I think we'll see a similar lineup to we saw today, probably. Spina might go back in between the sticks again. Obviously, I don't know, Xhaka, he might get punished with that red card by Arsene Wenger and might be dropped, or they might play him purely because he's not going to be playing in the Premier League fixture against Middlesbrough. So I think these are the sort of results, or the sort of games that are coming up. We expect results. We expect 3 points against Ludogorets. We expect 3 points against Middlesbrough. And I think that's fair to expect the 3 points. Who have we got after Middlesbrough?
I think right after Middlesbrough, I want to say it's Tottenham. I'm actually trying to pull it up, but I've got multiple videos. I've got multiple videos on my...
Oh, of course. We've got Middlesbrough, then we've got the FL Cup against Reading.
Okay.
So, obviously, we'll see probably a rotated squad there. Some of the youngsters getting a chance, as well as some of the sort of the fringe players like Mohamed Elneny, Gibbs, maybe even Debuchy. Holding, maybe it's under Gabriel. There's those sort of players, really, because we have got quite a big squad now. And where is the EFL Cup or Carling Cup, whatever it's called now, whatever it was, used to be some sort of a competition where we'd play a lot of youngsters, I think, because our squad is so big now. We sort of see more of the fringe players that they're desperate for game time. But so that's the sort of competition where they will get that game time. Then after Reading, we've got Sunderland, who have been pretty poor. I mean, Joe Allen got 2 goals against them today. Like, if that doesn't say something, I don't know what does. So I think we should expect, I know it's away, but we should expect another 3 points there. And then we've got the away leg against Ludogorets before then go into the Tottenham game. So really, we've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sort of fixtures that are all very winnable, look winnable on paper. I think we might slip up against someone because, look, we're Arsenal. It's bound to happen. And as we typically do have sort of bad Novembers, so we start to get into November, we could have sort of a bad run then. And after that Tottenham game, we've also got United, then followed by PSG. So that is a particularly tough run. So we really need to get some momentum, I think, from these sort of 5 upcoming fixtures before we hit Tottenham. And hopefully we can do well in the North London Derby, because that's something that when you look at the fixtures, when they come out, you look automatically for that Derby. And that's the sort of game that, me personally, before the build-up to it, North London Derby, I just feel horrible. I don't really enjoy the North London Derby until after the result. Obviously, if we've won, it's just horrible. It's just the one game every season that we have to win, or at least at minimum don't lose to them. So hopefully we can build up some momentum against these teams and have a good North London Derby and get a win there, and hopefully maybe even beat Jose Mourinho for a change when we play United after.
Let's hope, because the further we get away from the further we get actually get away from like Ferguson's last season, realize that accomplishment of him winning the league his last year was unbelievable. with what they have now, even with Pogba and Ibrahimovic, that's really it that they've got. And Mourinho, I do think Mourinho's past his days when he's had so much criticism now from a media that used to love him. He's going too far to try to do it his own way, and set things up his way so that he can win his way and say, "I told you so." That he's actually hurting his own players' form, which is just great to see, because I hate United and I hate Mourinho. Let's go ahead and get to some questions. One of the first ones that I see is from Tony Gray. Let me make sure I got that last name correct. Tony Gray asks. I'm sorry, Tony Lee. Tony Lee asks, Shredder, are you Mustafi's dad?
I did think that when I saw you. I thought when you were talking about Mustafi, you do bear a slight resemblance to him.
I am German. We have blonde hair and a reddish beard as he does. No, I'm not his dad, but if he wants to give me some family money from his contract, accept that. So yeah, very, very, very excited about that. Let me find this next one here. Sorry, my computer's being just a little slow today. Let's see what is next on the questions here. Okay, here it goes. Going to destroy this name, but not as bad as Danny would. Bavia Jane asks, should we rotate against Ludogorets, Perez for Sanchez and Gibbs for Monreal? I want to preface this before I come to you, Ellis. The good news about us, because I believe we're away at Ludogorets at first, or coming up on Wednesday. The good news about this match, they're 6-0 ahead of us, or ahead of the UK, or 4 or 5 hours ahead of us. The good news is traveling east, teams travel, and this study was done in the NBA here in the U.S., teams traveling from west to east, Arsenal going to Ludogorets, we actually have the advantage because technically the game will be played at an earlier time of the day that we're used to, so our energy and our peak form will be higher than theirs. Even though they're used to playing at that time, ours will be – it'll be earlier in the day for our players. And the good news is for the first time, I believe, it's actually going to benefit us that we're going to fly back early for the next Premier League match, fly back directly after the match. So very excited that we're going to have that. We're going to see a lot of rotation on Wednesday. Do you think he'll stick with what we've had? Obviously, Xhaka will not be suspended for this match. So he will be available. But do you think that rotate Coquelin in as well to go ahead and get some form and some playing time ahead of what's he'll probably be playing in the league and in the EFL possibly as well coming up? Do you think he's going to rotate probably especially up top with Perez and out left with Gibbs?
Have you cut out?
I may have. Oh, I am still here.
Oh, good. Well, firstly, I hate to burst your bubble, but we're not away. We're home against Ludogorets.
Oh, we're home.
Yeah, on the Wednesday.
Well, that's still. They'll be playing at pretty much, I want to say, like 2 a.m. their time.
Yeah, well, that's good then.
There we go.
From my point of view, I don't think there should be too much rotation. I wouldn't want to put too much rotation. Like I said, we've been stung before. In the past, when we've rotated too much, or we haven't taken these games as seriously as we should have, so I wouldn't personally like to see too much rotation. I'm not too fussed about the goalkeeper thing. I know it bugs a lot of people, but for me, I think Espina is a perfectly good keeper. In the first game against PSG, he pulled off some good saves to keep us in that game, so I'm not too adverse to him coming in between the sticks. But I would like to see as the starting 11 remain pretty much as it was. I think you've got a point possibly getting Coquelin in there to get a bit more game time, either maybe start him and then take him off at 60 minutes and then give him a little bit of rest before obviously he might have to start against Middlesbrough, or starting Xhaka again and then bringing Coquelin and easing Coquelin in towards the end of the game when hopefully, fingers crossed, we sort of put that game to bed already and then he can sort of just get his fitness back and get a bit more game time before I would imagine he'll start against Middlesbrough. So I don't Perez possibly pop him in there because he's going to need some games. I'm a bit surprised that he hasn't featured as much as he has. But when the sort of front three of Sanchez, Wobi and Walcott are working the way it is and we're getting results, you can't really argue too much that he should be getting game time. But it'd be interesting to see what the team is for Ludogorets. But me personally, I don't think we should rotate too much. And I'm not expecting us to rotate massively either.
So we'll go ahead and give a big shout out to the robots will eat you day today.
Aww.
So happy birthday. Happy birthday, Mr. Robots.
Happy birthday.
Everything rude, is still trolling me about the Panthers because we're off to a terrible start in the NFL. So I don't want to talk about that. He was supposed to join us today, but he's been a little ill. So you see him in the chat box, but he's just not doing too great on the being able to talk a whole lot, trying to keep some liquids down right now. But cheers to him for setting everything up for us today when he feels like absolute crap. So keep him in your thoughts. Marble Halls TV. Do you think Theo has improved, and can he win the Golden Boot this year with his form? So I'm going to take this one, if you don't mind, Ellis.
Yeah, go for it.
I believe it was like the Telegraph or somewhere like that had an article about how he's actually taken some, which is great, and I think younger footballers should do this as well. They said for a long time he had sort of blamed Arsene and Arsenal for woes for his form, for not being played more, for not playing him where he wanted to. And I think this year he sort of realized like it doesn't really matter where he's at up front, whether he's on the right hand side or up top. It's a lot of it's on him. And they say he started working harder. He's staying after training. He's coming in on his days off now to do strength training or some rehab training and get a massage to help with what could possibly be some injury prevention. So I told some buddies in a group recently who are also Arsenal fans that story footballers. Footballers should take a look at that and go, look, I see what he's done. I see the criticism he had, but he took it on himself. He didn't blame other people. He didn't do anything. He just started to work harder and try to improve every day. And I think that's been the big reason why we've seen his improvement. I've been somebody who for a long time has not been a Theo Walcott fan. I think he's a bit of a prima donna. I think he believes a bit of his own hype, which can be good at times. It can be bad at times. I think it hindered him for a while. But now to know that he's putting the work in, he's putting the effort in, and we're starting to see those results. And I think it's just going to make him want to work harder and work more off the training pitch, and it'll pay off even more on the training pitch. So I think he'll win the Golden Boot this year. Probably not. I do think he'll probably see one of his best goal goal tallies that he's ever seen this season. I do think he's got more goals in him the rest of the year. So I do think that I don't think he'll win the Golden Boot this year. But hey, I could be wrong, and let's hope I am. Let's hope he gets 30 goals and we win the league this year. Really, really happy about that. We have in here Marble Halls. A quick yes or no as we're about to start to wrap this thing up, Ellis. Marble Halls again asks, should we spend our transfer money on a top striker like Griezmann or Aubameyang in the summer?
Yeah. I think even with the way Sanchez is playing at the moment in that front three, I still think that is a key area that we haven't addressed. And I think Arsene Wenger has for many years tried to address. I think with Pires, that was more of a plan B option. We obviously tried to get Vardy quite early on in the season. Whether people were happy with that or not is another thing. But I think we definitely need sort of that world-class striker. But the problem is there's not many of them available. And there was rumours going around this season that Aubameyang asked for a lot of money and even City bulked. And for a club like City to sort of say, well, that's a bit too much money, that says something. I think Griezmann, I only watch a little bit of La Liga. Out of all the leagues, other leagues other than the Premier League, that's probably the one I watch the most, but I still don't watch a lot really compared to a lot of other people I know. So I think he's a good player. He, in the France friendly of the day, he didn't look particularly good at all. So he's had one really good season, so maybe that's something to keep an eye on. If he still performs well this season, it might be a player that we're in for. But I do think, it's not a simple yes or no answer because I elaborated on it even more than I should have. But yes, we need a striker, another like top class striker.
Gotcha. Everybody knows I'm a Giroud is evidently the talk of the chat box at the moment. Everybody knows I'm a huge fan of him. I do think Giroud still has his place in this team. I do think there are people who are games that we will need to play him in. I do think you don't change the winning formula. We need to keep Sanchez up top. As much as I said early on in the season, I'll hold my hands up, 100% wrong. I said Sanchez wouldn't work as a striker. I was wrong. There we go. Gaz the Gunner Down Under. That was fun. It's 1 a.m. in Australia and work in the morning. So, lads, thank you, Gaz. Go to bed. So I think that's gonna be it for us today. Thank everybody who joined us today. It's unbelievable to have such a strong showing. What a good win today. Not the best performance, and usually when you win after a poor performance or not the best performance, makes the win that much better. So thank you to Chris and Danny and Gim who allowed me to host today. I appreciate it. And Chris, come back.
No, you don't. You've done well.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us as well. It's been a blast today. Like I said before we came on, I wanted to hop on one of these with you for a while and chat some Arsenal. So, yeah, a good 3 points today. And everybody have a great rest of your weekend. All right, ta-ta.
Ciao for now.
Stop what you're doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round, I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky. I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this. Straight gangster Mac, but sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat, look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy, I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom. I'm crazy, allow me to amaze thee. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the girls' pants, and I even got my own dance.
The Humpty Dance is your chance to do it all.
Come on,
I do the Humpty Hop.
Check me out, y'all.
I do the Humpty Hop.
Just watch me.
I do the Humpty Hop.
Yeah.
I do
you know what I'm doing? Doing
the Humpty Hop.
Come on.
I do the Humpty Hop. I do the Humpty Hop.
People say, yo, Humpty, you're really funny looking. That's alright, cause I get things cooking. You stare, you glare, you constantly try to compare me, but you can't get near me. I'm giving more C, and on the floor B, all the girls, they adore me. Oh yes, ladies, I'm really being sincere, cause in the 69, my Humpty nose will tickle your rear. My nose is big, I'm not ashamed. Big like a pickle, I'm still getting paid. I get laid by the ladies, you know I'm in charge. Both how I'm living and my nose is large. I get stupid, I shoot an arrow like Cupid. I use a word that don't mean nothing, like Luke did. I sang on Do What You Like, and if you missed it, I'm the one who said just grab them in the biscuits. Also told you that I like to bite. Well yeah, I guess it's obvious I also like to write. All you had to do was give Humpty a chance, and now I'm gonna do my dance.
The Humpty Dance is your chance to do the hump.
Come on, yeah, sexy lady,
do the Humpty
come
hump.
Come on,
I'll do the Humpty hump.
Ah, yeah, that's the break, y'all. Let a little of that bass groove right here. Ah, yeah. Now that I told y'all a little bit about myself, let me tell you a little bit about this dance. It's real easy to do. Check it out. First I limped to the side like my legs was broken, shaking and twitching kinda like I was smoking. Crazy, whack, funky. People say you look like MC Hammer on crack, Humpty. That's alright, cause my body's in motion. It's supposed to look like a fit or a convulsion. Anyone can play this game. This is my dance, y'all. Humpty Hump's my name. No two people will do it the same. You got it down when you appear to be in pain. Humping, funking, jumping, gig around, shaking your rump. And when a doo-doo chump punk points a finger like a stunt, tell him step off, I'm doing the hump.
The Humpty Dance, here's your chance to do the hump.
Everybody!
I do the Humpty Hump.
Come on,
I do the Humpty Hump.
Sexy lady.
I do the Humpty Hump.
again, the underground is in the house. I'd like to send a shout out to the whole world. Keep on doing the Humpty Dance. And to all the ladies, peace and humpiness forever.